Good morning, church. The Bible reading today will be taken from Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 to 26. And it can be found in your pew Bible in page 1671. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you and I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me.
Thank you. Whenever I tell people I'm from Roxby Downs, the response I normally get is, wow, must be hot. Why on earth would you live there? The rugged beauty? The tranquility? Maybe it's the awesome sunsets or the night sky. Most people move to Roxby Downs for the mine, Olympic Dam, enduring the harshness, the long hours of work for the financial rewards. See, we're used to the idea of making sacrifices for a gain. We sacrifice 4 or so years to go to university. We take on debt to buy a house, to have the dream we've always longed for. See, we sacrifice now for the future benefits. Our vision for the future shapes our priorities now. See, as we look at the opening chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, we get a glimpse into Paul's eternal vision for God's holy people, which leads him to his gospel priorities for the here and now. I wonder what shapes our priorities. I'm just going to pray now for us as we look together at God's word. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul's vision of the gospel to be proclaimed and to transform lives. Lord, we pray by your Spirit you would stir us to this same glory of seeing your word transforming lives. Open our hearts to your mission, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Coming here today, I have to confess, is a little bit nerve-wracking. Normally, when I look up at church, I see about 30 people. There's just a few more than that here today. And I have to say, it's encouraging to be here. See, maybe even as you come here this morning, that you might be feeling a bit overwhelmed with having so many people here. We can sometimes start to feel like, how do we fit in? But I want us to, as we look at this letter, Paul's letter gives us great comfort as we start to think about who we are. See, after introducing himself and Timothy, who is his traveling companion and support, he goes on to address his listeners. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. To all God's holy people. Look, he does go on to include in that his address the overseers and deacons. I take it that they're like that the ministers of the church and the leaders, those leading the service, who have some kind of oversight to make sure things are happening in a good way. But his priority seems to be addressing God's holy people. The overseers and the deacons, they're to support this message coming to all of God's holy people. I wonder if you see yourself as one of those holy people. See, the word used, if you look at some of the older Bible translations, the word for God's holy people is the saints. Now, if you're like me, you can't help but compare yourself to others. And it can be challenging to even consider yourself to be called a saint or a holy person, because we see other people who have so much more eloquence than us, or people who know their Bible so much better than I do. And to be honest, I know what I'm like. Even the times when we're able to hide those things, I know I'm far from feeling like I'm holy. Particularly when we take the word saint, we can think, well, there's no way I could be a saint. See, I think this shift of the language has come because how the word saint has been used in an incorrect way over the years by different people. But did you notice what qualifies someone to be a holy person or to be a saint? It's right there. It's in Christ Jesus. So your value in God's economy comes from being in Christ Jesus, resting in Jesus' death and his resurrection. See, when Paul prays in verse 2 with joy, it's because of the holiness of this group of people, these Christians in Philippi, who are set apart for God's eternal glory in Christ. See, he elaborates this on the basis of his joy in verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And again in verse 7, all of you share in God's grace with me. It's no different for us. If you are in Christ Jesus, then you are holy. You partner in the same gospel as the Apostle Paul has. You share in the same grace with Paul and with me. Isn't that a wonderful gift? Isn't that a wonderful encouragement? This is the basis of our partnership. I know formally we have a formal partnership between Holy Trinity and Bush Church Aid, but the reality is the partnership is in the gospel. The partnership comes through this same grace that we all rest in. Ultimately, our partnership comes because we share in God's grace. Over the last number of years, my affections for all of you have grown. I know there's many here who I haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet. But over the years, I've got to know Tim Blagg, the youth pastor here, and others from the mission teams who have come up and supported us over the last 3 years. And as I come down here, I've met more people. See, before these experiences, we were able to say, yes, we share in the same gospel, we share in the same grace, and we would affirm that. But our partnership has become more tangible as our affections for one another grow, as our affections are expressed. Not just for me, but for God's holy people in Roxby Downs and God's mission in that place. As Paul's affections are stirred for the Philippians, Paul is distant from the people in Philippi, but his affections for them continue to grow as the gospel keeps growing in Philippi. So let me introduce you to a couple of those saints in Roxby Downs. This is Gemma and Loki with their children Spencer, Lawrence, and Estella. We first met them probably about 4 years ago. But it wasn't for about another 12 months till we really connected with them. My wife, Beth, you can see a photo of her there. She was down in the community of Roxby Downs at this time, and Asher, our youngest son, he wanted to go to what's called the community hub. It's a space which is created for the community where families can just go and just hang out and have a coffee and chat, and kids can have a play. And Asher wanted to go, and Beth and I were downtown. We were running errands, and we were running out of time. I said, look, Beth, you just go there, and I'll go do the errands. And when she got there, Gemma was there. We had met her, but we didn't really know her. And when she was chatting with Beth, she said, can I come to church? And well, of course you can. But it was a great reminder to us that so many people, they have this desire to want to know more, that they know something about God, but they don't necessarily know how to connect in. It's a great reminder that maybe just a simple invite is all they need. But Loki was brought up in the church in South Africa until he was about 9 when he moved to Woomera. Now, Woomera at that time, and still is, it's not a big place, maybe 100 people, 150 people. And there's not a lot of Christian connection there. We're trying to build some ministry into that place. But over time, his life became less satisfied, even though he got jobs in the mines and they were doing quite well. And God was stirring in him. Gemma, on the other hand, her only real connection with Christianity was her Catholic grandmother, who she wasn't able to go to church any longer, but her grandmother was praying for her. But Gemma faced some medical concerns which was potentially could kill her if it came about. She felt that there was something more to life. She thought she was pretty good. She thought that she was quite tolerant of people, but she couldn't, with all that, she couldn't rationalize what was going on medically for her. She couldn't understand that underlying fear that she had. So there's nothing like a crisis to ask those big questions of life. See, I remember chatting to Gemma for about an hour one morning as she asked question after question about life, about death, about faith, about Jesus. And I was able to explain to her that Jesus died for her sins. I think it was at that moment that she became a Christian and put her trust in Jesus. Gemma doesn't think it was for another 12 months. See, over the next 12 months or so, she was getting more and more frustrated. She was praying to God that I want the answers to these medical concerns that I have. Yet the answers weren't coming. As she reflected on this, she shared with me, I now know why God wasn't giving me the answers. Because he knew that I needed to get to a stage where my faith was at such a place that I could handle the answer you gave me. Even if that meant that the answer was that I was going to die. But I could die with faith and my kids would see how I would suffer, and even if I had to die, and that they too would put their trust in Jesus. See, that's the gift of that we are able to give her. Just opening up who Jesus is. See, that's the confidence that Paul has for the Philippians. That God began a good work in them and it was carrying them to completion until the day that Christ comes. See, 3 years on from that first, when we first connect with Gemma and Loki, Loki's now leading a men's Bible study group. Gemma has conversation after conversation with other mothers in town, sharing the great hope that she has in Jesus. And when you talk to her about these conversations, you see the gleam in her eye, the joy she has when she has the opportunity of just talking about the hope that she has. See, as you partner in the gospel with Bush Church Aid, and as you partner with me and my family, you are partnering with Gemma and Loki. You are partnering with them in the gospel priority with eternal visions, with eternal consequences. See, every time I read this letter of Paul's to the Philippians, I am amazed at what Paul's thinking. See, if I was in prison as Paul is for the gospel, I don't think I'd be describing my emotions as joy. Paul prays with joy because he is seeing the gospel growing and transforming lives. So if you look at verse 18, yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I continue to have sufficient courage that Christ will be exalted in the body. So I remember going to the old penal colonies of Tasmania. I don't know if you've been down there to Port Arthur or to Sarah Island. And I remember hearing a story about the convicts, how they longed to escape the atrocities that they were experiencing. And there was a way that three of them would form a pact. One of them would kill the second one, and the third one would observe. The one who got killed, he escaped. He got to go to heaven. The one who killed him, he would then confess his sins, and then the state would kill him. He got to escape, and the third one, he drew the short straw in their thinking that that one had to stay and report what had happened. See, in the atrocities and the struggles of life, you can understand why the glory of heaven must be so tasteful. And as Paul's there in prison, I think that's what he can think, well, if this is it, I go to heaven. I go to be with my Lord. And he longs to escape to that. See, that's the vision that Paul has for himself. He longs for his body to be exalted, for his deliverance. And in verse 21, he says, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Longing for that eternal glory. See, despite the challenges that he's facing, with his eyes fixed on the glory that's his, whilst that's what he longs for, did you hear him say, but to live is Christ? To live is Christ. He is willing to endure, to press on because of the gospel priorities in the present time. Overwhelmed by the glory of the gospel hope and the transformation in the lives of others, even beyond his own welfare. So if we come back and look at verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what is happening to me has actually served to advance the gospel. So whilst he's got his picture on glory of eternity, he knows that the suffering he is going through now is for the good of the gospel. It's actually serving the advance of the gospel. The guards who are intrigued by his joy while he's in prison, it gives him the opportunity to proclaim the gospel to them, which in turn gives the brothers and the sisters the confidence that they too can continue to press on, that they too can be there all the more to proclaim Christ. See, Paul's priority, even to suffer, to endure, is because of the gospel, that it could be proclaimed, so that people would be intrigued, that people would be transformed, that the gospel priorities would bring hope to the hopeless. So it'd be easy for me and my family to return to the city. It'd be easy for us to say, look, we've done our 4 years there. Zach, our eldest, he's moved back to Adelaide for school. This adds further challenges to us as a family. But we are convinced of the gospel vision to transform lives, to sustain people in their faith. See, we are convinced of God's vision for Gemma and Loki, but also for Jasmine and for Erica and Hendrik, or for Rian or for Viliami. See, these are just a few of the saints who in our time there have come and joined our church and have put their faith in Jesus. And all those people are at different places in their journey. Some have come from Fiji. Some have come from South Africa. From New Zealand. We have connection with people from the Philippines. See, as we pray for the joy for those whose lives are transformed by the gospel being preached in Roxby Down, as children are introduced to Jesus through the missions and our partnership with you as you send teams up to support us in mission. See, when you lift your eyes up to your eternal hope, your eternal glory, which is in Christ, does that also bring your gaze down to a world which is lost? Whether that be here in Adelaide or in Roxby Downs, everywhere. There are people who are hurting, people who are trying to put their hope in things that don't satisfy. How does our eternal glory, our eternal hope, how does that shape our priorities for the now? Because I think isn't that why we have a partnership? Because our eyes are being raised to a world that doesn't know Jesus. So how can you partner with us? Well, I think that the one way is to pray. Prayer. As I highlighted, get our prayer cards. I think everyone got one on their seats as you took a seat. If not, I'm sure we can get one to you. Put that on your fridge. Stick it to the mirror of your bathroom, and as you're brushing your teeth, pray for us. Scan the QR code, sign up to get our prayer points, get our prayer letters, get our videos. In your small groups, in your over coffee, pray. If you work at Olympic Dam, or if you know anyone who works at Olympic Dam, maybe you do fly in, fly out, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to connect with you. I can only imagine how hard it is to be flying in where all your support networks are somewhere else, working long hours. We would love to be able to support you, but also then partner in bringing the gospel into the camps and into the mine. So if you work up there, then I'd love to hear from you. Get behind the mission in October. Start praying for it now. Maybe support it. See how you can be praying for that team, how you can partner in getting things organized for the team to come up. I know not that everyone can come up there. If we bring the whole church up, that'd be wonderful. But there's some way. Maybe you have some skills that can translate to a rural or remote part of Australia. If that's at Roxby Downs, we'd love for you to come up for a season to partner with us. One of the great things, when I was saying look up and see a church of 30 people, having someone to come, extra people coming and partnering with us, it encourages the saints there. It creates opportunity to be able to connect with more people. It creates opportunity for people to lead youth groups. At the moment, we don't have a youth group because we don't have leaders. Perhaps that's something that you could do by coming. If you are a teacher, we are short teachers. Last year, I think we were about 10 teachers short at the school. If that's something that you can do and then partner with us at church, that would be a great encouragement. See, I know we don't like talking about money. People at church don't like raising the idea of money, but the reality is without the financial support, Beth and I and the family, we can't stay there. Whilst Roxby Downs is a wealthy town, most of that wealth goes somewhere else other than the church because we're only a small church. But your financial contributions enable us to stay there and that people like Gemma and Loki can hear the good news of Jesus. So if you're able to support financially, then please do partner with us financially. See, our partnership comes because of the gospel, because of the grace that we share in Jesus Christ. It's been a great joy to come here today to share with you what God has been doing for His glory. Let me pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You that the gospel does indeed bring us into partnership with You in Your mission. We thank You that You have a heart for all people, for those in the cities, those in rural and remote parts of Australia, and we thank You in Your glory that your Spirit goes to all to make known the good news of Jesus. Lord, send more people. Send more people to make known the gospel to all people. Lord, we pray for our partnership that you would bring glory to yourself through it as we see more and more people, more Gemmas, more Lokis, coming to know Jesus, both here in Adelaide as we are stirred here, but also in Roxby Downs and throughout all the regions and remote areas of Australia. For your glory we pray. Amen.